Hello, and welcome to the Hermetic Magical Mind, Hermetic Science, Hermetic Magical Science, Hermetic Mind, Magic. There's so many things I could call this. Changes daily. Hi, and welcome to the Hermetic Science Magic Mind. And I'm your host, Tanya Scott. We are just reading, at this moment, Franz Barden's Initiation into Hermetics. We are still in the theory part, so we're going to go today into read about the astral plane. The astral plane, often depicted as the fourth dimension, is also created out of the four elements and therefore is a density degree of the Akasha principle. Consequently, the astral plane forms the basis of everything which has an origin, regulation, and life existence. Everything which has already occurred is occurring presently or will occur in the future in the material world. As has already been mentioned, the Akasha in its most subtle form is a well-known ether, in which, amongst other things, the electric as well as the magnetic vibrations propagate. Therefore, it is also the sphere of vibrations in which light, sound, color, rhythm, and thus all life in everything created has its origin. Since the Akasha is the source of all existence, it is understandable that everything finds its reflection in the Akasha. That is, everything that has already been produced and has occurred, everything that is presently produced and is occurring, and everything that will be produced and that will occur in the future. That is why you will see in the astral plane the emanation of the eternal, which has neither a beginning nor an end, and is therefore timeless and spaceless. The initiate who finds his way about this plane will find everything here, whether it be the past, the present, or the future. The extent of perception depends upon one's degree of perfection. Most religions, occultists, and spiritualists depict the astral plane as the beyond. It is clear to the initiate that there really is no such thing as this life and the life to come. This world and the world to come, the beyond. That is why he does not fear death, because this concept is foreign to him. If the connecting substance between the physical body and the astral body dissolves through the decomposing activities of the elements or through a sudden severing of the astral matrix, what occurs is what is commonly called death, which in reality is only a transition from the earthly world to the astral world. The initiate does not fear death, because on the basis of this law, he knows that he does not enter into uncertainty. By mastering the elements, he can, besides many other things, achieve a loosening of the astral matrix, and thereby accomplish a spontaneous separation of the astral body from the earthly shell. This will enable him to visit the most remote regions and proceed to the various planes, and alike with his astral body. Within this phenomenon, we will find the positive clarification of stories wherein some saints were not only seen at the same time in different places, but were even seen working at those very places. Cool, right? The astral plane has different kinds of inhabitants. Above all, there are departed human beings from earthly world that linger there in accordance with their degree of spiritual maturity and the corresponding degree of density. In accordance with the various religions, this is depicted as either heaven or hell, yet the initiate perceives this as merely a symbol. The more perfected, noble, and pure a being is, he will therefore reside in a much purer and finer degree of density in the astral plane or sphere. The astral body begins to dissolve gradually until it corresponds with the frequency of vibration of its particular level of astral plane. or in other words, until it has become identical with the level of the astral plane. This identification depends upon the maturity and spiritual perfection that the particular being has achieved in the earthly world. Now, this is kind of interesting. I'm not going to go off on it, I promise. But Swedenborg, I don't know if you guys have heard of Swedenborg. He's from the 1700s, I think. He talked a lot about death and the afterlife and what happens when we die and the like. But he talks exactly of this. It's fascinating. So if you ever want to research some really interesting ideas, it's Swedenborg. I found him when my brother had killed himself, and I was searching for an understanding of what happens on the other side, and I discovered Swedenborg, and it brought me so much peace and understanding and clarity. So I recommend a study there if you're so inclined. But we'll continue now. Besides the aforementioned departed human beings, the astral plane is inhabited by many other beings, of which I will mention only a few species. There are, for example, the so-called elementaries, beings with only one or a few attributes which are dependent upon which element vibrations are dominant. They maintain themselves from the same kind of vibrations that are peculiar to human beings and which people send out into the astral plane. Among them are those who have already reached a certain degree of intelligence. Certain magicians can make use of these lower forces in order to indulge in their selfish intentions. Now, this is a little bit bringing in the idea of jinns and demons and stuff like that. They're talking about this. These are lower beings, but they're also lower magicians that are that are bound by ego, and their motivation is ego. So they're not of a higher order or intention. It's all selfish ego. There is also another kind of being, the so-called larvae, which are called into existence through the astral matrix, intentionally or unintentionally. Now this is cool. By intensive emotional thinking, kind of like a poltergeist, kind of like when you're dark and dark and dark, and it just adds on to itself, and you feel like things are on you and you can't get out of it. Well, you have larvae that are attracted to that energy and they feed off of it. It's a spiritual position. So these are spiritual, these are all spiritual different levels of beings. So which are called into existence through the astral matrix intentionally or unintentionally by intensive emotional thinking. They are not actual beings, but merely forms which keep themselves alive from the passions of the animalistic world on the lowest level of the astral plane. Their instinct for self-preservation takes them into the sphere of those human beings whose passions attract them, like addictions. They feed off your addictions and they keep you bound to them. Or your negative thoughts and keep you bound to them. They attempt to awaken and call forth directly or indirectly the passions which lie dormant in a human being, which these forms be successful in enticing the individual to a passion which is to their liking. Then they nourish, maintain, and strengthen themselves from the emanation which this passion brings forth from this person. One who is laden with many passions brings him with him a host of such larvae into the lowest sphere of his astral plane. And a big struggle ensues with these larvae. The mastery of the elements is an important component as far as the subject of magic is concerned. You will find more information in regards to passions as they relate to the elements in the chapter dealing with introspection. Besides these, there are elementaries and larvae that can be created artificially by means of magic. You will find details in the practical part of this book. There's also another kind of being which should not be overlooked, because the initiate quite often has to deal with these beings on the astral plane. They are beings of the four elements. These beings, when they are in the fire element, are called salamanders. When in the air element, they are called sylphs. When in the water element, they are called mermaids or undines. When in the earth element, they are called gnomes. These beings represent, so to speak, the connection between the astral plane and the earthly elements. How to contact and control such beings and how to achieve anything with them will be discussed in the practical part of this book in step 10. There is also a multitude of other beings such as satyrs, wood nymphs, water sprites, etc., which can be added to the above. All of this might just sound like a fairy tale. However, in the astral plane, these are realities, just the same as all the earthly beings are realities. The clairvoyant eye of the initiate can see them at his direct discretion, and he has the ability to contact them. This immediately removes any doubt as to their existence. First of all, the initiate has to reach a certain level of maturity, must understand how to examine in order to be able to judge. All right, well, that's it for today's. Just a short little explanation on the astral plane. It's cool, though, I gotta say, because now we're getting into the different what happens in the ether. The Akasha principle, how to call forth memories and futures. And the astral plane is also one for, there's lots of different entities that are interacting with us at all times. So in order for us to be able to navigate sanely and safely and sidestep these spiritual entities, these otherworldly entities that are all around us at all times, it's good to know where they come from, what they are, and how you can interact with them safely, and or just not interact with them at all. And that's the most safe, until you understand what you're doing and with the right intentions. All right, so I have enjoyed today. I look forward to tomorrow. I hope you're having a wonderful day and enjoyed just getting further into this theory. This is the Hermetic Science Magical Mind podcast. I am Tanya Scott, here to read Franz Barden. And pretty soon, we're almost through the theory part, and pretty soon we'll be going to the application. And that's when it'll be a discipline for many months of coming through and learning and developing skills and mindsets and abilities. So I leave you with that. Have a magical day, and I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.